This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com. Welcome to The Showrunner, where we have one goal: teach you how to develop, launch, and run a remarkable show. Ready? Welcome back to The Showrunner. This is episode number 25 of The Showrunner. I am your host, Jared Morris, VP of Rainmaker FM for Rainmaker Digital, no longer Copyblogger Media, but Rainmaker Digital. And I am joined on this episode by, he's back. Mr. Nastor is here after a one-week absence. We suffered through it. We made it through, but now he's back to rescue humanity. We missed his devotion to humanity on last week's episode, but now he's back. Johnny Nastor, host of Hack the Entrepreneur, my usual co-host here on The Showrunner, back to bring balance again to this duo. Welcome back, Mr. Nastor. It's wonderful to have you.
Thanks so much, man. That was a serious intro.
Well, I got to admit, it was a little strange not having you here. I mean, we've done a few shorts kind of on our own, but we hadn't done a full episode yet, you know, where it wasn't both of us. So Toby filled in and I thought did a great job and provided some excellent insight on just audio tips that I think everybody can use. And so I'm really glad that he was able to come on, but it's nice to have you back. We missed your insight.
Oh, thanks. Toby's freaking great though.
Toby is freaking great.
And I'm not just saying that because you're listening to this right now, Toby, probably editing it. Just in general, like you really are. You do masterful work. So it's...
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Way to go, Toby.
If we're going to ask anybody for audio hints and tips and tricks, then that should be the guy. So I'm glad he filled my spot.
And I've also found myself really enjoying leaving Toby little Easter eggs inside of episodes. We did it on the lead a couple times. I think that's going to be my new goal now on The Showrunners, leave him an Easter egg in every episode.
Nice. I'm sure he loves it.
I'm sure he does. So what do you say we jump right into a topic? Because we've got a good one. It was actually from a listener who asked you about this topic, and we're going to talk about it today. What do you say?
Let's do it.
Okay, so we often talk when we get to the listener question part about how, you know, we'll introduce the question and then we'll spend like 15 minutes talking about it and be like, you know, this could have been an entire episode. And so we're not going to make that mistake this time. We're actually going to take a listener question and make it an entire episode. So do you want to introduce the question, introduce the topic, and then we'll dive into talking about it?
Sure. And you say we're not going to make that mistake this time, but we're definitely going to make some mistakes, right?
We always do.
Okay, good. Whew. I was like, oh, I really got to up my game then. But okay, so the question on a lot of people's minds, I seem to get asked this question a lot. And yes, we were going to make it the listener question, but then it kind of blossomed into a full thing. And that is, as we know, lots of us are starting shows, and a great way to run a show and to start a show is to interview guests. But how do you find guests? How do you get either big name people in your market or people who are even rather unheard of but have brilliant stories and insights to share? How do you do this? How do you track them down? How do you get them scheduled to get on your show? This is what we're going to cover today.
It is. And you can speak authoritatively on this, obviously, because you've been doing this with Hack the Entrepreneur. And I've actually been dabbling in some of it myself with the Assembly Call and Podcast on the Brink, my Indiana basketball podcast, because we've really tried this offseason to branch out more and get more bigger name guests, get a lot of ex-players. And so I've been trying some different strategies to do that, some successful, some not. So this is going to be fun. I'm glad we're doing this topic. So let's start with this. When you start out, you know, like if I'm a showrunner, I'm sitting there, I want to do this, should I start out by going after the biggest names, the biggest guests in my market? I mean, should I shoot for the stars right away?
Well, if you're like any podcaster that's ever existed in the world, myself included, yes, that is what you will do first. Then you won't get responded to. Then you will sit in your office and probably cry because nobody's responding and nobody wants to be on your show. Then you'll slowly change direction and realize that those really big, big names in your market are not even the best people usually for your show. This is for your audience, right? This isn't supposed to be an ego sort of trip for you to get to talk to the biggest, famous, most famous people in your market. It's to bring the best stories, the best insights, the best lessons in general and education to your audience, whatever it is you happen to be podcasting about. And I've found now with like 130 episodes behind me that some of my biggest and most popular shows are the people, are the guests that really are rather unheard of, but they're brilliant. And one thing I think, because they, people really focus on, I think like they really want to perform, they really want to do well. And you, sometimes you get a big name and it's like, oh, I've been on 1,000 podcasts in the last month. And just kind of, you ask a question and you're halfway through and they're already responding because they think they know the answer. And it's just kind of, so long answer is yes, then you're going to cry, then you're going to realize. Short answer is no. Go for the ones, this is all about knowing your audience, right? And then finding really interesting people and also not falling into the trap of, I'm in the entrepreneurial interview space. It's a very popular space. There's new shows coming in probably 3 or 4 times a day. And you'll see that somebody will come onto one show and then she will go across like 20 shows all at once. And I typically don't want that person, at least not at that time. So because this is just a great way to differentiate yourself. And even if it's Seth Godin on my show or Tim Ferriss, if he's been on 20 other shows all at once, people who listen to entrepreneur podcasts or any market for that matter, they listen to more than one. Sorry to burst your bubble. They don't listen to just your show. They listen to your show and the show beside it and the show beside it and all the other top shows in that market. It's just how it is. So they don't want the same guest over and over and over and over again pushing the same book. But they do possibly want that person later on.
When you get out of, you know, entrepreneurship topics, marketing topics, a lot of the stuff, for instance, that we focus on with Rainmaker FM, where I agree, that certainly happens. And it's almost counterintuitive in a sense that the people who are the guests on the most shows don't make the best guests for your shows for exactly what you explained. And also because a lot of times what we think we're getting in terms of a benefit from having the big name on there, which is exposure, oftentimes doesn't come through because that person is so busy. A lot of times they're not sharing their episode with you. Whereas someone who is a guest on fewer shows is much more excited to share it and introduce you and that episode to their audience. It's kind of counterintuitive in that way. But I wonder if it's different when you're in a market or in a niche where the big names, quote unquote, aren't going on a whole bunch of other shows, right? Because my experience with the Assembly Call is a lot different, where a lot of the ex-players, they're not really being interviewed. They're not, you know, going on all of these different shows. So people really haven't heard from them. So in that case, would you recommend for someone like me that I do go after the big names first? Or is it still better to kind of start small, work your way up, because I'll have a better chance of getting a big name once a medium tier or smaller name has kind of come on the show for credibility?
Okay, so you're in your market, I would say yes, with a huge disclaimer. And that is, if you can do something which is like kind of serious psychology within yourself, which is like, if you can start and disassociate yourself from the outcome being that when you ask this massive guest and you don't even have a live show yet, and they ignore you, and then you ask 5 other really large ones and they all ignore you, disassociating yourself from the outcome of them ignoring you is not saying that your show is no good. It's not saying that you're not a good podcaster. It's not saying that you won't go on to have the biggest show in your market in a year or 2 years. So if you can do that first, which most people can't, they take that as a huge setback, and that sets them back 6 months because they just – they get sidetracked. They just, if these people don't want to be on my show's no good. And then what happens when we lose that little bit of momentum, especially before we launch, is we just sidetrack it. And so if you can do that, but that's massive. That's a massive mindset shift, which people have to work on. And it's, I mean, I didn't want to get too deep on it, but that's true. And it's it's we find failure as something that is, and we take it personally, and it's not. But if you can manage to not do that, then by all means, go for it. So the reason why I'm telling you to go for the smaller and the medium-sized names, especially at first, is because they're more likely to say yes. They're more likely to do really well. You're going to be less edgy if you haven't interviewed people before. You're not going to be just totally overwhelmed. Everything's going to work better. And your audience is still, as long as the guest is providing the value that your audience needs and requires, then they're still going to be super, super happy with it. Rather than they are with one, with the most famous person in your market, but you're nervous and or else you didn't get to release the show for 9 months because they ignored you and you got sidetracked. So that's the only reason why I would tell you to do that. I mean, obviously, there are some markets where you can get that. But once you have a bit of traction, it's going to be a lot easier to get these people, right? And there's other ways you can find these people, but it does help when they can, they see your show name in the email, they Google it, or you have a link and they go right there and like, oh, wow, this actually looks legit. Okay, I'll do it. But right now you don't have a website. What are they going to say? Most people will say no or ignore you.
Yeah, no, they will. So, and that mindset part is so important. So I'm glad we started there. I'm glad that the rest of this conversation will kind of be, we'll have that framework around it. So let's talk now about where to find guests, right? I mean, I think an obvious place to start is other shows. Look at other shows, guests that have been on those shows. Obviously, those people are willing to go on podcasts. And I think that is going to be a really good place to start for a lot of people. Let me start with my experience, which is in a niche where people aren't really going on shows. You know, you're trying to bring someone who was important 10, 15 years ago and bring them to an audience who will still remember them but hasn't heard from them in a while. And so I think this conversation is going to be interesting because we're looking at this from kind of different niches, different markets. You know, so if you're in a niche or a market where the guests are not going on other shows, they're maybe not, you know, going on podcasts isn't a regular thing for them, I think what I have found is that social media has really opened up doors that just weren't open 5-6 years ago. And a lot of the interviews I've gotten are because, you know, ex players, for example, are active on Twitter or they're active on Facebook. And I've been able to just strike up conversations. The ones that have actually turned into interviews, it hasn't typically been, hey, do you want to do an interview on the show? You know, and just kind of blurt it out. And then they say yes, and we do it. It's, I know that I want that to happen in the future, but it's striking up other conversations and opening a dialogue so that there's something else there. And then eventually when a little bit of trust, a little bit of rapport is built, then saying, hey, by the way, you know, I host this show. I think our audience would love to hear from you. Would you be interested in coming on? And then moving on from there. And that's been a strategy that has really worked well for me, but it's not necessarily one that perhaps you would use as much, John. You know, and I'll be interested to hear, you know, when you started Hack the Entrepreneur, kind of where you went to find good guests. And now that the show is a little bit bigger, it's more well known, you know more people, how that has changed now a year later.
It's changed a lot, as in I have to turn down lots of guests now and guest requests via email and via social media. The only time I've approached someone via social media is after trying on email at least twice, because I want that connection to go through there. And it's probably is because I'm in a market that, I mean, people obviously deal with email very, it's not like, I'm still shocked when I talk to a friend who's not in like online business and like emails, like you only check your email once a week. I'm just like, it shocks me. It's like, it's, I see it like all the time, constantly. It's all I do. I live in my inbox.
Yeah. Or, so, or where the email is not posted. Like people like you and me, our emails are out there. They're pretty easy to find, you know, right. But people who don't live their lives online, it can be hard to find their email address.
Exactly. We do have some tricks for that though.
We do.
Which we can
coming
get
up
to.
Soon.
Yes.
On the Showrunner. That's a tease.
Yeah. So I deal with it via email and then to Twitter if I want. Now, a year later, I have actually been introduced to some people. I've had tweets from people with other people attached who would be good guests, and they're like, this person should be on your show. And that works really well because then that person sees it and it's not me asking, it's somebody else saying, wow, you'd be awesome on this show. I'd love to hear you on Hack the Entrepreneur. That really helps, obviously. But then we instantly take it to direct message and then into email. And that's just how it works. Then they get the same email that everybody else gets from me. But the biggest way that it's changed by far is just simply that now I have people to choose from that are coming to me. So it's not, I don't have to actively actually go look as hard as I did a year ago. But other than that, the process is exactly the same. The emails switched, like tweaked a bit, I guess you could say. But that's just to show kind of showcase some of the stuff about this happened to the show in the last year, because it makes it more of a benefit for them now than I didn't have that stuff to say at the beginning.
And timing can be important, right? I mean, if you can hit someone at the right time when they are more likely to want to invest the time in going on a show, that can be important. And you have some good tips for this. I know you've shared them in huddles inside the Showrunner course. I don't know if we've talked about them here. We might have. But this episode would obviously be a good chance to talk about them. An example would be your Barnes & Noble coming soon, right? How do you use something like that to find out when the time would be right and someone is in a position to where they're going to be ready to go out and, you know, promote an idea or whatever it is that they're going to want to talk about?
Oh, yeah. This is one of the most successful things I've done. And I kind of hate to even share it sometimes, but it works really, really well. Luckily, I know that 95% of people listening won't take action on it for more than one time, because that's how people are. So I'm cool. It works. We do this like religiously with Hack the Entrepreneur. My assistant and I, we are constantly scouring Barnes & Noble. So barnesandnoble.com, down the left-hand side, or sometimes it moves, but one of their sections is under books, is coming soon. You can see books for almost the next year, and typically between 3 months to launch date of the book, within that window, people are just dying to get onto any show, TV, podcast, radio, newspaper, anywhere, just to be able to promote their book. And it's actually even better because when you're on Barnes & Noble, you can also look at who the publisher is. So the best way by far that we've found is to find the publisher and then track down the publisher's website and then go to their either media contact or something like that. You'll be able to figure it out usually through the footer of the page. So the very bottom of the page, there's going to be a bunch of links, but usually media or just a general contact, and you can get in touch with the company and they will put you in touch with the PR person in charge of this author and this book. And this PR person's job, it's their job to find people like you and shows like yours to get their person on. So they are so excited when you email them now. You've made their job easier, and they will demand that that author, no matter how big they are, come onto your show exactly when you say, and then promote it exactly as you say after when the show is published. It's amazing. It works so well. And there's this middle person that's like working as your PR person. Plus then you have this contact with this PR person, which, because you usually deal straight with them, and then you can just, if it goes well, you just can email them at any time and just tell them to keep you in the loop. And then you'll just start getting emails from these people. Well, we have a new book coming out in 2 months. Could we have somebody on next month? And then you could publish the episode after that launch date. It's like, of course, that'd be great. Works great.
So I'm noticing a potential contradiction here, and I wonder if some of our listeners are as well. So let me ask you this. How do you reconcile that, what you just said, which is going, finding these people who are going to be ready to go on any show to promote a book or an idea, whatever it is, with what you talked about earlier, with not necessarily wanting the same guest that everybody else is getting? Because when you do this, right, I mean, when you get these people, presumably they're going to be going on 20 other shows, and they're going to be on a lot of the other shows people are listening to. So is there something we're missing in how we're explaining that? Because that seems like a bit of a contradiction to me.
Oh, that's true. And this could be I'm figuring out how. So this is my mistake, because I'm only thinking of it in terms of Hack the Entrepreneur. Hack the Entrepreneur, I don't go to the business section and look. I go to other sections. And like if somebody builds a blog about it was about maintaining your house and all this stuff, totally unrelated to business, but she has an amazing business built around it. So, yeah. And she has this book coming out, not even necessarily to do with what, like about business at all. It's to do with her market, but it's an amazing business. And so I get to interview her as an entrepreneur for this. And I know I can get her because of the PR. So
gotcha.
But it's getting out of the echo chamber of your own niche, still bringing in guests that are relevant, and they may be on a lot of other shows, but they're not necessarily going to be on the other shows in your same niche that other people will be listening to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Wow, that's a key thing. How have I totally missed this? So this is something I discovered last August when I started, and I went to the business stuff first, and I was like, no, this isn't going to work. And then I just went to every other market you could think of and just found people that have cool businesses in there. And it's just a great lead off because everybody's in their own market. Then you go to their site and it's like, wow, this is a cool business. And then I can do it. So you would have to venture off from basketball in some way if you could. But unless you are, like you said, in a market that doesn't even have a lot of shows, that doesn't have the people going across all the shows.
It's, yeah.
Because there's such a difference in markets, right? So, right. Yep. That's crazy how I totally forgot about that. This is just how I do it. And now,
yeah,
no, that's but cool. That was an awesome point out because I think of it just as normally how we do it, but I forgot to specify that's how we do it.
So, okay. So we teased earlier this whole idea of kind of finding emails. So give me some insight. You know, I'm someone, I want to start reaching out to people. You know, I'm struggling to find contact information. You know, the only avenue it seems like is social media, but I'd like it to be a little bit more of an intimate request than that. Do you have any tools, any tricks, resources that can help me maybe get information that I'm struggling to find elsewhere?
Yes. And before I tell anybody to them, you have to, everybody out there listening and anybody that's going to use this has to promise to me somehow, I don't know, via Twitter, or just to say it out loud right now, that you won't use these things for evil purposes
or nefarious deeds.
Yeah, because they could be kind of grimy and not done for good things, but that's not at all what we're, but they're meant for good and they should be used for good. So something called,
and I trust the showrunner audience.
Exactly, so do I. But I mean, their buddy might be sitting there listening to them next to them and, you know, right, taking notes and like, I'm gonna take over the world with this stuff, right?
Okay, so real quick, earmuffs on your buddy. Good. All right, I think we're safe to proceed.
All right. So emails. Two tricks. VoilaNorbert.com is a service that is mostly free. I think you get two or three per day you can do for free. And then you have to wait and go back the next day unless you want to upgrade. But it allows you to type in first name, last name, or if you only know the last name or the first name, and then a domain. So JaredCopyblogger.com. It's going to figure out probably potential emails for Jared, or the ones it actually does testing. It sends pings to things and will actually do it. And that works pretty good. But then there's one actually called CellHack, which is an extension for Chrome. So, and I think it's an extension for Firefox. We'll link to this in the show notes for everyone. But this one actually is just a drop down from my corner. And it's, again, type in the name, type in the URL of the company they work for, and it will give you not only the email address, but then it'll tell you how confident it is in its guess. So if you type in Jared and Copy Blogger, it'll probably give you one that says 100%. I won't tell your email address though to everybody.
No, you can. Jared@copyblogger.com.
I was alluding to that. I was seeing if they would catch that.
That's okay. I enjoy everybody's emails, please.
Exactly.
Not your earmuffed friend, because he will use it for bad deeds. But right. You can email me anytime you want to.
And then there's one called Sidekick, and Sidekick allows you to check a box. So when you send, if you want to get Jared on your show and you figure out through Voila Norbert that it's Jared@copyblogger.com, but you're not 100% sure because we're not, well, Jared just told you, so you're pretty sure now, but we don't know, right? So it's going to guess and we're hoping. So I'm going to send an email to this person and I need to know if they open it. Because if they open it, then I know that it's a valid email address. If they open it and they don't respond, okay. Then I can send another one in a week and try again. And then after two, it's like, okay, well, that's fine. Then I can go to, say, Twitter and try and track them down if I want. And be like, oh, I emailed you twice about being on the show. But I track it with Sidekick, because Sidekick just, it gives you 200 emails a month or something to track. You check a box. It literally will give you a pop-up on your screen that tells you when the person or if they opened it. So if they don't open it and then you send again in a week and they don't open that, then you know your email is no good. And then you go to...
Don't edit that out, Toby. Leave it in.
And then you're going to wish you had Toby back. then I would just go over to CellHack and I would look for a different email address. But this is the best way. And typically, I mean, you're pretty lucky. I mean, you know Jared works for Copyblogger. Well, the artist formerly known as Copyblogger. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember the name right now, so that's all I could come up with.
Rainmaker Digital.
There we go.
Rainmakerdigital.com.
Not the artist formerly known as Copyblogger.
it's just a symbol now.
It's really, I mean, it's a great way to start, right? If I was looking to get a hold of Jared, I would probably try jared@copyblogger.com. There's a really good chance that that works. I mean, john@hacktheentrepreneur.com. There's a pretty good chance that's going to get right to my phone here. And so you're pretty good. But then Sidekick will tell you if it opened. And if they didn't, then you go. And that's it. I lost my train of thought.
No, that was good. Okay, so we're sending the email. But this gets us to a really important point, because writing this email is difficult. I mean, I write tons of emails all the time. Like, it's part of what I do for my job. And I struggle with emails requesting people to come on my show. I wrote one recently to Dan Carlin because I really want to interview him. And I really struggled with it because I wanted to put in there how much of a personal fan of his I am and just how much I love his work, you know, that I'm a customer, you know, that I've actually bought episodes of Hardcore History, and wanted to sell him on the show, the showrunner, and what we do and why I want him on, and sell him on the success that we've had and the audience that we've built. And I wrote this email and it ends up like 5 paragraphs long, and it's like, you know, one of his episodes of Hardcore History, but in email form, you know, which is not short and to the point, and which this is a busy guy, and whether he reads his email or whether an assistant reads it, it's a little bit much. But I felt like all of that information was somewhat relevant to him deciding if he wants to come on the show. So give me some guidance, if you would, for what of that would be important and maybe what I should take out.
Every important part from that 5 paragraphs should be 2 sentences or less. At the very, very top of your template email that you use to send to people, I've tried across hundreds of people now, the people that I absolutely want on my show, I've been following their work for years and all that stuff like you just said. I've tried writing the giant thing, and then I've tried writing 1 sentence to show them in some unique way, like, oh, I read this and it's something from 8 months ago, a headline mm-hmm. from, and they'll be like, whoa, that's cool. The guy actually, you know what I mean? Something that I know will catch, because most people are busy. Most people are, or 80% of people now are reading it on their phone, probably in the back of an Uber. And you have 1 sentence to catch their, that you're not just, it's like, okay, this is another email from a fan. That's cool, but I'll get to it later. You know what I mean? Like, you're just going off about, I don't think you have enough time. So I've really got it to a super, super templated, simple email. And I literally have better results with just sending the templated, literally with nothing personal put in except a little 1-sentence thing at the beginning, than I do totally trying to transform it every time and write this unique thing for this person because I want them so bad. Mm. It's crazy, but it's just, it has to be short. It has to show the benefits to the person, right? Like, it has to show what is in it for them. And what's in it for them isn't just the fact that you're a fan, because they probably have lots of fans. And fans are awesome, but at the same time, he's a busy guy. He probably doesn't want to take out 2 hours from his time to talk to a fan. He wants to talk to somebody who's going to put him in front of a new audience. Who's going to, well, with him, it's probably he'd want to be interested in the conversation. He'd want to know that it's going to make him think in a unique way, or do you know what I mean? Or do something in that way, rather than just, I don't want to sit down with a fan for 2 hours. It's just, I'm too busy and it's not going to do enough for me. I can really talk to 100 fans that email me today. So why you? So you have to show them that you're professional. You respect him totally, but then it's business. And now here's what we can do for each other. What do you say? And then include your link directly in there. Please do not send out an email looking for a guest and not use a link to like meetme.so or Calendly or something where they literally click the link. They get shown a calendar and available times where they can just pick it. You will not get your guest to go back and be like, sure, I'll be on. And then you're like, well, how about next Tuesday at 3 p.m.? And then they like say, well, no, that's not good. And I'm on a completely different time zone. And how about the following Wednesday? And you're like, oh, Wednesday. Oh, you know what I mean? It's just
I hate that
process. I know. But
it makes me not want to do interviews. And I'm glad you brought this up, because I have created calendars on MeetMe to make this so much easier now. And I can just send people, you know, for, I have a separate calendar for like live in-person, you know, little coffee meetings in Dallas. And then I have another calendar that I send people for Skype meetings. And it's made it so much easier. And, you know, people send me theirs. And either way, whichever side of it I'm on, it's so much easier to either be able to just have them pick or me pick, and it's done, it's scheduled. Most of those programs then give you an option to add it to your calendar, and it's simple, and it just removes that horrible, awful process of the, you know, the back and forth 15 email sequence, you know, and then you finally realize that the only time you can meet up is like 3 years from now.
Yeah, and then especially with time zones, like it does time zones for you.
Oh, yeah.
And I believe Calendly, and if it's not Calendly, there is another one that you can actually use for free. There's ads, I think, maybe displayed. But if you don't want to pay, MeetMe, I believe, is like $5 or $7 a month for one calendar. And it's the most amazing investment I've ever made for my show, because you're right. Like, it's just people will not it still shocks me when I can send an email to somebody, ask them to be on my show, and literally 3 minutes later, I see the Sidekick pop up. Oh, they opened it. And then all of a sudden there's an email from MeetMe. It's like, oh, they requested a booking. Like, that's awesome. That's so awesome. Yeah. Right. And then it's right. Yes. It's the only way to do it. So keep it short. And I'm wondering if, is it possible that we could get people the template of the email that I've used?
Sure. Why not? Let's put it in the show notes.
Can we just put it in there?
I think so. I don't see why not.
We don't need to like make them give us an email or anything.
Yeah. No, and it's they can't give it to their earmuffed friend either. That guy gets nothing.
Nothing. Except no, bigger earmuffs next time.
Right. Yes. Yeah, he gets nothing. By the way, if we ever do have Dan Carlin on the show, which will happen at some point, I'm laying that down. Okay. We're gonna get him on here. I'm gonna ask him where you rank among the all time defenders of humanity throughout history.
Really? You have to ask him that?
Let's do a listener question.
Crazy. I wouldn't come on your show either if I was him. Now let's do a listener question.
Now let's do a listener question. So our listener question, as always, is brought to you by the Rainmaker platform, which is, of course, the complete website solution for smarter digital marketing and sales. So what does the Rainmaker platform allow you to do? Well, it allows you to build powerful content-driven websites, start a sophisticated membership program, sell digital goods the smarter way, and much more. Even better, you never waste valuable time with plugins, complicated code, hosting, maintenance, or upgrades. Check out the Rainmaker platform. Go to rainmakerplatform.com. The nice thing is you don't have to just read the website, you know, look at all the features and decide right now if this is for you. You have 14 days to try it free, give it a little test drive, see if it's the right platform for you. It is for me. Johnny uses it. We think that you'll like it as well. So go check that out. Now, our listener question this week is a little bit different, because we just did the listener question, as we mentioned. A lot of times these listener questions end up being little mini episodes of their own. So we just made our listener question an episode. But I will say that we're running a little low on our queue of listener questions. So this is a really good opportunity for you to ask us whatever question you have. It can be specific to your show. It can be a general show running or podcasting question. Whatever it is, let us know. You can tweet us at showrunnerfm. Or you can email us. My email address is jared@copyblogger.com. Johnny told you his email address earlier, john@hacktheentrepreneur.com, correct?
Yes, J-O-N.
Yeah, you can email us at either one of those places. Send us a tweet. Either one is good. You can, too, on iTunes. I know some people have tweeted me and said you're not really allowed to leave questions as iTunes reviews. All I know is people have done it, and we've used those as questions here. So clearly that's a strategy that works. You're more than welcome if you leave a review with your listener question. We have given those priority in the past, so I'm assuming that we will do it in the future. So that is our listener question section. But let's do some podcast recommendations, because you and I haven't had a chance to recommend any external podcasts for the last four episodes. We've had members of the Showrunner Podcasting Course recommend their shows, and that's been fantastic. And we're going to continue doing that, but we're just taking a short little break from that this week. And we have a couple of new shows that we've been listening to and that we like. So right after this, we'll recommend you those new shows, and you can check them out and see if you like them too. So Johnny, I'll let you go first here. You found a very interesting new podcast during your recent travels, and it combines actually the hosts of two extremely successful podcasts and now mashes them together into this new podcast with a very unique format and two hosts who, in addition to being great hosts and having interesting things to say, have great hair.
Can you guess who it is?
Can you guess who I'm talking about?
Yeah, so this is a really, really cool podcast. So I just spent like 5 days in a car and we drove like thousands of kilometers. And so I listened to a lot of podcasts. But then near the end, this one was released. And it's just on episode 9. It's a daily, I think just Monday to Friday they're doing. And it's Stephen Dubner from Freakonomics and, well, Freakonomics fame. He's done a lot of other stuff. Sorry, Stephen. And yep. James Altucher. Of James Altucher fame. And they apparently are friends and have been for a long time, which I never would have assumed that. I just thought they were in completely different realms. But apparently they're good friends and they play backgammon. Ooh. And they just talk. And they have talk and ask each other questions and just have these wacky conversations. So they decided to meet. They both live in Toronto and not in Toronto. They both meet in New York. Sorry, it was my Canadian coming out in me. And they go into a studio and they sit down and one of them gets to pick a question and they just ask the person the question and they don't know what it's going to be. And it's literally just completely random questions about anything. And then the person just answers it and they kind of talk about it. And they're like 10 to 15 minute episodes. Excellent, like intro music and outro. They do two ad spots, actually, shockingly, between these 11 minute episodes. And they do them super well. They must be part of Midroll because they have a lot of the same advertisers that I've been dealing with, but they do the ads so much better than I've ever done. So it's actually made me kind of up my game in that. Stephen Dubner does all the ads and he kind of seems to sort of host the show and he kind of really reins James in, which Jared, I think, tries to do to me sometimes because I have a tendency to go off. Maybe not as much as James.
Well, and I've interviewed James before and it is not easy to rein him in. I mean, the guy gives incredible information, but he's tough to rein in.
He's awesome. I got to interview him too. And he actually ended up like asking me questions and it was like, geez, man, where are we going with this? So it's called Question of the Day, and it's literally just that. The two of them laughing, doing cool stuff, and they just ask each other all the questions so far. I think they're just at episode 11. All the questions so far they've actually just randomly found on Quora, and apparently they're both obsessed with Quora. And Quora is really cool, so it's actually got me to download the app, and now I've been kind of playing with it. But and so they're just weird, random. Like, how do you start a conversation with somebody you don't know? How do you – and it's cool. So that's it. Question of the Day, Stephen Dubner and James Altucher. Check it out. It's great.
Very cool. Very cool. Very interesting show that I will check out. My recommendation is for the sports fans among us. And if you are a sports fan, especially a football fan, you know that the football season – by the time this episode comes out, week one will have just ended. And that means that for a lot of us, our fantasy football seasons have begun. We're past the draft. We're past week one. But we'll need information and advice to keep us going throughout the year. And I found a great new fantasy football podcast called thefantasyfootballers.com. And I'm recommending this for two reasons. Number one, if you are a fantasy football player, it's incredible information. These guys really do a good job. So I recommend it from that standpoint. But I also recommend it from a production value standpoint because anybody who's tried to, you know, search for fantasy football information online or find podcasts, they are not typically the highest of quality. But this show is radio quality. These guys are clearly broadcast professionals. They have experience in this. Their website is great. They have an entire platform where you can ask questions and, you know, become a member and just studying it from a production value standpoint, how they incorporate people's questions, how they interview, the format of the show, you'll learn a lot, both about fantasy football and podcasting. So for any showrunners who are fantasy football players, I think this is a must listen just because of the information that you'll gain both about fantasy football and podcasters. So you can listen to that. Thefantasyfootballers.com is the website. And if you just search for Fantasy Footballers in your podcast app of choice, you will find it there as well.
Nice.
And with that said, I believe we have now concluded another triumphant episode of The Showrunner, number 25. And we will conclude it by reminding you to go to showrunner.fm and get in our email list if you are not there already, because you will get our content series, The Four Essential Elements of a Remarkable Podcast, which, again, they describe our core curriculum. If you're a first-time listener, it's a great way to understand the basics of what we believe in, and just to kind of color in some of the gaps of what we talk about here on the show. But Johnny, it's great having you back. I look forward to getting back into a rhythm doing shows together and continuing to take showrunners on this epic showrunning journey that we started, what is it, like 5 months ago now?
I guess, yeah, 25 episodes. So yeah, about 4 or 5 a month. That's because you've done some shorts. Yeah, so
we have done some shorts, but those don't count in the number.
Yeah, and when we take 1 week off like I did, then it, yeah, I miss you, man.
Yeah,
so
I missed you too.
We should do this more.
Yes, I think we will. Next Wednesday?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right, everybody, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next Wednesday on another brand new episode of The Showrunner.
Thanks. Take care.